Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, how many have your Bibles this morning? You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians. How many came to get some insight from the Spirit of God this morning? Praise the Lord. Well, I love reading what Paul wrote. How many know Paul had a relationship with the Spirit of God? And, you know, I was telling Pastor Shelby this a couple of days ago. It's interesting how we mentalize Christianity. We really have, guys. We've mentalized it because we'll read letters that these people wrote, and they wrote them out of a fellowship and a connection with the Spirit of God. The Word says they wrote it as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. So there are things that they're writing down and there are insights that they have because of their fellowship with Him that are coming straight out of the mind of Father. And then we get a bunch of yahoos that don't know that connection, so they mentalize everything and turn it into something else. And then from that place forward, everybody goes with that. And so we start teaching mental things out of the letters that these guys wrote. Not that we don't want to understand these things with our mind, but folks, if it doesn't have the light of the Spirit of God on it, it's only for your mind. And all that does is create, as he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, all that does is puff people up. And then we start, you know, getting revelation from the Spirit of God, and we start having home groups, and we start sharing our revelation just to you know, send it around the block a few times and see what everybody thinks. When we don't realize that the only reason the Spirit of God shows us anything is to get us to step up into that and for it to become us. Not so we can have little group discussions and, you know, well, if I see this, well, I see that. You know, I just don't have time for that. Because really what you're doing is we're all back into everybody's mental, and we're just, you know, because everybody's at different levels. Because everybody's at different levels, then you're going to have different insights, and it's not that everything is right. Understand this, folks. There are things that are true in the Word of God. I heard somebody say this one time. There are things that are true in the Word of God, but there are things that are more true. It doesn't make the things that are true not true, but there are things that are more true. So there are things that as we grow up into Him, He's showing us things in layers. And there will be things that He'll show you that will be more true than what He showed you. And the challenge is if we can only grasp something with our head and with our thought process, and it makes sense to us, then we'll adhere to that and we'll discount everything else. Where we're not realizing that because we're not continually growing up in Him, that what you just got was a piece from the Spirit of God that's more true than what you already had. It doesn't make that wrong. It just means He's moving you forward. So in this letter to the Corinthians, Paul is dealing with a group of folks. I mean, we've talked about this before. Basic human beings. They get bent out of shape in their emotions. They relate to people because they relate to people. They associate with the ones that agree with them. They don't associate with the ones that don't. They get into arguments. Their emotions get bent out of shape. They start sharing their opinions on everybody else, and they think their opinion is right just because it came out of them. And they're misjudging the situation and the people completely because he says, you know, when you get over into your natural man, you're looking through a glass darkly. You're not seeing everything with clarity. And so he deals with all these things, and he's really dealing with trying to get them back on track from acting like mere men to acting like the new man. Why would God get on us for acting like mere men when we write songs about that mess? And we think it's humility when it's just a spirit of stupid. Because the Spirit of God doesn't see you that way. So why in the world are we saying, why are we looking at ourselves the way your Father doesn't look at you? Why do we say things about ourselves the way the Father doesn't say about you? Why are we saying things about our spouses that your Father's not saying about your spouse? Because the reality is, what Paul's trying to get over to these people is, look, there's only one head, you're not it. He is. He's got a certain vantage point. He's got a certain perspective. All you are is the limbs below the neck. And you're supposed to be connected so that whatever he sees, you see. Whatever he hears, you hear. Whatever he says, you say. This is real live Christianity. And so in this book, he starts the whole letter off again. He talks about the fact that, look, you need to understand this, that you've been set apart in him. That's verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The word sanctified means set apart. You've been set apart in Christ Jesus. You're saints by calling. Father is calling you holy. That won't preach in most churches. I mean, look who he's talking to. And he's saying, your Father says you're holy. About that time, you hear somebody say, well, I already knew that. He says, you've been set apart in Christ Jesus, your saints by calling, with all who in every place are calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. And then he says in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. The marked difference between us as Christians and those that are just natural human beings is that we carry a presence and a power that is his. And because we're carriers of that presence and that power, we should be seeing things that other people don't see. We should be hearing things that other people don't hear. I promise you, when I opened my mouth and I spoke to that man, that he did not know that. He wasn't seeing that. He wasn't thinking that that's who he was. But we'll see where it goes. But all I'm responsible for is what I get. Paul said in the fourth chapter, he says, you need to understand that we're stewards of the mysteries of God. And then in another place, he said this. In the same letter, he said this. Speaking of stewardship, he says, look, I do things because I want to, but even if I don't want to, I have to understand that I've been committed. A stewardship has been committed to me. So it doesn't matter where we are as believers, folks, and it doesn't matter what your feelings say to you. At the end of the day, when the sun goes down, the bottom line is, like it or not, we've been committed a stewardship, and that stewardship is to steward those things that come out of heaven and get them into the earth. That's our stewardship. Has nothing to do with our feelings. Paul says, I want to do this, but even if I didn't want to, I have to realize that I've been committed to stewardship. We've been so talked out of the fact that whether we can get things from heaven, we've been told that it only belongs to apostles, it only belongs to prophets, it only belongs to those in the, quote, fivefold ministry. So much so that then the pendulum swings the other way, and then we get the mindset of, we don't need any of those guys. Well, how many know that's not scriptural either? Because Paul says we've been given gifts, and those gifts are apostle, pastor, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever, five of them, that for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So we do need those guys. Because God's given the body those guys so that we can raise up the rest of the body to maturity. Holy Spirit's not an isolationist. And it's important, see, when we get away from a fellowship from a real God and a real person, we get all kind of goofy, squirrely ideas. And we think they're right just because they come from us. You know, and I've been guilty of this, folks. Early on, it seems like in Christianity, I'm just gonna throw this out there because somebody's gonna be listening that needs this. But it seems like, you know, really, for us guys that are pastors, teachers, whatever, it seems like we're always looking for the new thing. We're always looking for the new angle. We got to get something new that nobody else is saying so we can say something different than anybody else. It's not like we're selling a product. I got to come up with a new idea. Something nobody's saying. I got to get it out there so I can get my voice out there. Folks, I've done that. But the problem with that is, and Paul kind of deals with this stuff, he says, look, anything you get from him, you got to understand you got it from him. You didn't get it from you. And I'll just say it like this. Just because you got it doesn't mean, and nobody else is saying it, doesn't mean it's right. Just because you see something that is quote, exclusive, don't go getting this idea that you got this inside track that nobody else is seeing this, and this is all, and this is the truth right here. And then we start bashing anybody else that said anything else contrary. You know, and he deals with that in this letter. He says, you know, some of you say, I'm of this person, I'm of that person, I'm of Apollos. And then there's the ones that don't want any earthly leadership at all. They just want to go straight to Jesus. They don't need no pastor. They don't need no teacher. They don't need no evangelist. They don't need no apostle. They just go straight to Jesus, and you can't tell me what to do. I get it from him. And if I get it from him, I'll do it. Otherwise, I don't need to listen to nobody. And he's saying, Christ is not divided. See, the problem with that, and we talked about this last week, all that is a man grounded in a natural place. And we have natural loyalties. Natural loyalties are not of God. I knew that would go over real well. Because what natural loyalties do is, well, I only listen to so-and-so and everybody else is wrong. I follow this person or this lady or that lady or this, and I don't listen to anybody else. That's a natural loyalty. God, Holy Spirit, wants us to have spiritual loyalties, but those spiritual loyalties are this. Because everything comes from Him, and we're not supposed to step away from Him to get anything that we get, because all things are by Him, for Him, and from Him. So He's looking to us to spend enough time with Him as a person, not a tape, not a TV show, not anything else, Him, to let Him let you learn Him. We got a whole lot of learning going on, but nobody's learning Him. We need to learn Him. Paul says, I want to know Him and the glory of His resurrection. Because in that union, here's what happens. Then you develop the ability to recognize anything that a person would say that's in the body of Christ, you'll recognize it as, oh, that came from Him. I'll take that. Oh, that came from Him. I'll take that. And we celebrate those things that come from Him out of everyone else around us, even if they don't agree with us in other areas. That spiritual loyalty, that's what He wants. You know, go over to 1 Corinthians 12. Again, everything in this book, everything in this letter, it all flows together. It's all together. Sometimes I hate the fact that we read by chapter because it isolates our thought process and we think that he's talking about some new subject, when actually everything he's talking about in this letter, he already talked about it in this letter. So we got to get used to reading things all together. He started off talking about what? Some of you say. He said, by the way, somebody's told me that there are quarrels among you. Let me get more specific. Some of you are saying, I follow Chloe, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul. Or some of you are saying, I just follow Jesus. He says, Christ is not divided. Well, how many know that that topic didn't go away? So by the time he gets to chapter 12, and he's talking about the manifestation of the Spirit of God, he says, he brings it over into the context of the body. He says, but now in verse 20 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he says, now there are many members, but there is one body. So they had it backwards. They had one member. Well, I follow. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Let's put it in the context. Those of you that follow Apollos, you can't say to me, I have no need of you, Paul. Those of you that follow Jesus, you can't say, well, I got no need for any of y'all. He says, on the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members which lacked, so there will be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. What's that same care? They're all connected to the spine. You say, what the heck is that? The Spirit of God. That's the subject of this entire letter. Is the grace that sets you apart. You've been enriched in all things, in all speech and all knowledge. Why? Because you're connected to the head. Folks, it's time that we get a hunger for not just wanting to exist in a natural place. Because that isn't even the real you. The real you, he knows who it is. He knows what you look like. He knows what you look like when you're fully saturated with the Spirit of God. He knows, and he's trying to get that over to you. So, there you see, even in the area of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, how silly it is to adopt mindsets that say, well, some people flow in this gift and some people flow in that gift. And some people are in this gift and in that gift, but not in these gifts. I don't really flow in this or this. That's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. Because the manifestations of the Spirit were given to everyone. If you're in the body, every one of those manifestations of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I mean, think about it. If you go through well, let's just go back there, 1 Corinthians, first part of the chapter, chapter 12. He says, for one's given the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, plural, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Are those all not specific details, but they all fit in the category that you started the letter with that said, you've been enriched in all speech and all knowledge. It's the same topic the entire letter. So we can't say, well, certain gifts are for certain ones. I don't really flow that way because he already told you in a previous point in the letter that all things belong to you. Right? When the Holy Spirit says all things belong to you, things present and things to come, that means all the things that come, anything you'll know when this thing is over with, it belongs to you right now. So if all things belong to you, then don't tell me that one of these doesn't belong to you. It all belongs to us. The only thing is we just been told, we bought into a thought process that came out of a natural man that basically said, well, I don't see much manifestation of this in my life, so I'm only supposed to have this and this gift. And then we sell that crap. Sorry. And more natural people jump on the bandwagon, and then they sell it more, and they write books about it, and then pretty soon it's a prevalent mindset in the body of Christ. And then pretty soon we think, well, shoot, man, this guy's got the gift of this or that. I'm gonna go to his meetings. And what have we just done? We've just fallen into and bought into the, well, I follow so and so because he's got that gift. So do you. The only difference between him and you is he developed it and you haven't. That's the only difference. Because anything that comes from the Spirit of God is yours right now. And it's got nothing to do with how good or bad you think you are. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that you're connected to the spine. And your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's your best friend forever. Okay, so let's go back to, I'm debating whether I want to get into this tonight or not, but let's go back. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says that you're set apart by the presence of him and that power that follows his presence, which is the grace of God. That's the difference between the new man and the natural man. So, since he has given you that equipment, let's make a decision not to live as mere men. Because we've been way over-equipped for that. And then, in chapter 2, he says, for example, when I came to you, I just came off of, and this is over in Acts 18, I just came off of an instance where I was trying to relate to people because they were very intellectual, very philosophical, and I was trying to relate to them and build a bridge to them based on the idols and things that I saw in their city. And so I saw an idol, and that was a divine insight as far as the unknown God. But he learned some things just because it started off being divine insight from the Spirit of God. He turned it into, I'm going to try to build a bridge philosophically with them, and he walked away with nothing. And it says in the text in Acts 18, when he left there and he went to Corinth, and then in this letter he says, when I came to you, okay, I'm walking from Athens to Corinth, and I'm thinking about what will just happen there. I'm used to seeing the power of God rock the cities, and I didn't barely get any converts at all. He said, so I made a decision. When I came to you, I determined to know nothing among you. So he's modeling for us. This is the environment that we have to be comfortable living in if we're going to see the Spirit of God break out in our environments. And in this letter, he brings out a number of different things. He said, I came to the point, I would determine that it was okay for me to, when I got in your midst, to know nothing. Even though I'm a highly educated man, I was raised a Pharisee of Pharisees, I was trained by the best, but it was okay with me to, when I came in your midst, to know nothing. Because the only thing I want to know in your midst is, I want to know Christ. That's all I want to know. And as a result of that, I'll get the demonstration of the Spirit. See, he didn't have the demonstration of the Spirit in Athens. So he said, I made a choice to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ, him crucified, and to rely on the demonstration of the Spirit. What do you think would happen in our cities, guys, if we made a determination that I don't have to know the entire Bible to be an effective, quote, witness? What if we just made a determination, I just love hanging out with Jesus, and I love to spend time in his word, and I just love to get what he gets, and I love to know what he knows, but what I love more than anything is when I get out in the public, I can go anywhere I want, free as a bird, no pressure, and I can start conversations with people with no agenda, but I know my Holy Spirit has an agenda, and he'll show me things, and all I know is I'll just step out and say what he says, If he shows me something, I'll address that. Wherever he shows me to go, if he gives me a picture, I'll go there. If he gives me an impression, I'll go there. No pressure. But I'm going to leave the demonstration of him and the confirmation of this message of the gospel. I'm going to leave the verification up to him. It's not on me. What do you think would happen in this city if the mentality of the churches in the city was, we don't have to confirm our own words? It's not our job. But see, if you're a mental Christian, you do. Here's why. Because if you're a mental Christian, what's at stake here is your ego. I don't want them to think I'm stupid. So God, you better show up. So what happens is we don't say anything because, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, that's not your job. You're not supposed to be the one in the center of the circle. He is. And at worst case, and if it doesn't happen, you can just say this. You know what? I want to thank you, man, for letting me pray for you. That took some guts. I'm kind of learning these things, so I want you to know, just at the least, I want you to know that God thinks you're absolutely amazing, and he's so thrilled with you, and he's pursuing you because he wants a relationship with you. And he just wants you to know, he wants you to be blessed. You walk away with that, it has nothing to do with you. I got some stories to tell you. I can't tell you today. But your qualification is absolutely zero of an issue. It doesn't matter one hill of beans. All that matters is you love to spend time with him and you love to cultivate that relationship with him. And you know, we'll develop on the other stuff out there. But the more we stay out there, and the more we're willing to stay out there, the more we'll develop in things. And pretty soon you'll get to the place where somebody will think you're of impossible. Because you flow in areas that they don't flow in. It's just because you were willing to practice and they haven't started yet. But he wants to bring the whole entire body. Because it doesn't matter if you're the little toe or you're the collarbone that connects the neck. The fact is, he says that all of the body was designed to be able to minister to itself. So that means everybody has to have the same access to all of the gifts of the Spirit that everybody else in the body has. Otherwise, the body's not getting equal ministry to itself. Does that make sense? Okay. So, that's chapter 2. Chapter 3, he's talking about, I have a lot of things I want to say to you, but you're men of flesh, you're like infants. And we talked about that, the issue with being an infant. He addressed it like this in Ephesians 4. He says, your understanding is darkened because of ignorance. How many know babies don't know everything? How many know they hardly know anything? Has Jasmine's baby started speaking French yet? Oh. They don't know anything. So ignorance is not a bad thing. It just is. There's just things you don't know. But understand this. You as the new man, you are created to know all things. That won't go over very well in places either. Because we let our experience tell us what is. But the fact of the matter is, if all things belong to you, that means all things belong to you. Maybe we should be approaching every situation in our life with, well, I may not have the vantage point right now, but I know somebody who does. And so we believe what the Word says, that when you ask those things, believe that you've received them and you'll have them. And so then we just ask Him for what we need, insight for what we need, and we just rejoice and praise Him like we got it, and it'll show up. We make this thing way too hard, man. He says, you guys are just acting like infants. There's a lot of stuff I want to share with you. I can't because you're acting like infants. Even now, I gotta give you milk. And then we get over into chapter 7. He says, look, so let me address some things that you wrote to me. And I told you this before. Isn't it interesting that there's a disconnect when he starts talking about the things of marriage and idols and those kind of things. We think that's the best thing in the book. And that's the only thing anybody teaches. Because, quote, that's the practical things, and we only teach the practical things. The problem is all those things came out of a heart of a baby. Hello? He said, I'd like to share with you a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I want to share with you, but I can't because I have to keep giving you milk. Oh, speaking of milk, let's talk about what you want to talk about. How come we haven't made that connection? Because the letter of 1 Corinthians is the greatest letter talking about how the new man is supposed to function. And we settle on natural stuff. And then we get it wrong at that. He talks a lot about being willing. In chapter 4, he really deals with the whole issue of, you know, these are my ways, I want you to follow my ways. And so he talks a lot about being willing to, number one, he says, you know, when I came to you again, I didn't come to you in superiority of speech or wisdom. By the way, I'm the example, so follow me. He says it like this in part of this letter. He said, look, I laid a foundation. Other people build on it, but you better make sure you're building on, you're mindful how you're building on the foundation. I laid a foundation. This is how this is supposed to look. As a wise master builder, here's the blueprint. This is how it's supposed to look. When I came to you, I didn't come to you in my own wisdom, my own head. I came to you with complete reliance on the demonstration of the Spirit and my knowing Him. Step one. Step two. Understand that we all have the mind of Christ. This is in chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 16. He says, we all have the mind of Christ, therefore we should be speaking the things that are freely given to us. Again, this is the blueprint. He said, this is the foundation. I've laid this foundation. The Holy Spirit helped me lay this foundation. In other words, it doesn't look any different than this. We got a whole lot of stuff built on top of what Paul built on that don't look anything close to this. Because mental Christians have taken what he said, that you can't build anything on anything else other than Jesus Christ, to mean it's not built on Buddha, it's not built on Allah, it's not built on anybody else, it's only built on Jesus. That's not what he said. But because we're mental Christians and we only relate to God through our minds and our rationale, we've changed scriptures to mean things they didn't mean. He's telling you, because the whole entire letter is about you being connected to the head. Him as an example, when I came to you, I decided it was okay for me to know nothing. I had absolutely no problem with that. Because I'm in reliance on the Spirit of God in your midst to confirm what I'm saying. That's the foundation. Follow me. We have the mind of Christ, so therefore we're to speak the things that are freely given to us. And then this next part is two phases. He says, if any man among you thinks he's wise in this age, he must become foolish. And then you can almost hear the parentheses. Oh, and by the way, that's okay with you, right? Because when I came to you, man, I came to you trembling. Rocked by what happened, just happened to me in Athens. It wasn't okay. And so I made a decision. He says it like this in 2 Corinthians. He said, you know, the Lord told me, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, so I settled it. I'd rather minister in my inabilities so that the power of Christ rests upon me. So he says, if any man among you thinks he's wise, he must become foolish. Be willing to go there. Know it. Everybody say, know it. Now listen to how this all connects together. Be willing to go there knowing that all things present and all things to come belong to you right now. He's talking about Holy Spirit ministry. Let's be willing to get into the middle of situations completely clueless as to what's coming next. And not put that pressure on us feeling like we have to know. Because what we do know is all things belong to you. Whatever you need, whatever you're going to need, whatever you're fixing to step into that you're going to need, it belongs to you. Folks, we really have no credibility when we say, well, you know, when this whole thing's over with, we'll have this, and this. Well, Paul said by the Spirit of God that anything that belongs to you when this whole thing's over with belongs to you right now, so what's the excuse? It belongs to us right now. Everything's right now. Everything belongs to you right now. If you can say out of your mouth at any point in your life, well, when this whole thing is over with, I'll be healed. Well, that means you're healed right now. That means it belongs to you right now. Not when you get out of here. Any insight that you would have in heaven on things. Paul just told you by the Spirit of God. Your best friend just told you, oh, by the way, imagine anything you would get insight into in heaven. Oh, by the way, that belongs to you right now. So, part A, if you think you know anything, in order for you to advance in having accurate knowledge and not looking through a glass darkly, you have to be willing to say, or be willing to look foolish and not care. The second part of that is, he says in this letter, I'm a fool. You consider me to be a fool. I'm considered to be a fool. I'm considered to be weak. And I'm considered to be without honor. Meanwhile, you're strong. You're this. You're that. You're just the opposite. But I'm weak and I'm a fool and I'm without honor. But basically, he turns around and says, and that's fine with me. Oh, and by the way, follow my ways. Notice what he's not putting himself down. He's simply saying, and he said in this letter, the world considers certain things, they consider the things that come from God foolish. In fact, some of them go so far as to consider not only foolish, but absolutely non-issues. They're completely non-useful. But understand the way the kingdom works is he takes all those things the world says are foolish or non-existent, and he uses those things to bring to naught the things they think are wise. So therefore, in that environment, I've learned, I don't care if you think I'm a fool, I don't care if you think I'm weak, I don't care if you think I'm without honor. He uses me to confound the wise, and therefore you need to follow my ways. It's not a put down. See, if we can't come into the midst of people and it be okay with us that we might look like a fool, so we just degrade ourselves on purpose. If we can't do one without the other, that's still not coming from the Spirit of God. Because your daddy is not putting you down. He's not putting you down. And that's where we get into problems, because we've been trained by a religious system that humility is self-degradation, and it's not. It's not at all. That's from the damn devil, and he's an idiot. So he says, I'm a fool, I'm weak, I'm without honor, and I'm fine with that. For us, there's the Father, from whom are all things. We exist for him. One Lord Jesus, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. So I don't really care if I have a reputation. And then the next thing he models for us, he says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God, trustworthy. Oh, by the way, follow me. The Spirit of God wants to raise up a people that he knows he can trust to steward the things that come from heaven. Because we'll actually put ourselves out there. You hear what I just said? Because we'll actually put ourselves out there. So when we put ourselves out there, we'll grow into these areas. And it'll come to the place where the Holy Spirit will say, this guy's trustworthy. I can show him anything. There are things that are to be shown about people and about situations that people are in that he may not show if he doesn't trust what you're going to do with it. How many have ever been in a situation, not you on the blunt end, maybe you have been on the end of it. Oh, the Spirit of God shows me that, and then they spill your mail in front of everybody. And they're doing it all in the name of, I'm just ministering what the Lord gave me. And you feel like a fool because you just got the sheet pulled off of it and you're completely exposed to everybody in the room. Did that uplift you? Or when you knew that happened to somebody else, did that uplift them? Did that make them say, oh, I want God more? No. It embarrassed them and made them say, I don't want anything to do with these guys ever again. The Spirit of God does not do that. If he gives you something and it's something along those lines, then he doesn't expect you to air it in front of everybody else. He expects you to get with the person where there is nobody else and just say, you know what, and don't pull this mess. Thus saith the Lord. Shut up. The only reason we're doing that is to prop up what we're saying. And it has to be right because I said that at the beginning. When it could be only partly right and the rest of it's your own mind. So you don't say that. You just say, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm just going to give this to you. I feel like I'm kind of getting this from the Lord. And you know, it's kind of it's just an impression. So I mean, if it bears witness with you, great. If it doesn't, then, you know, then just forget it. But or put it on the back burner or something. But this is what I got. And I just kind of feel like maybe you're having some challenges in this area. And the enemy's really been trying to beat you up on this deal. And you know, what are you doing? You're ministering to them what the Lord's giving you, but you're not ministering to them. You bad, bad person. You better turn or burn. And you let the Spirit of God minister to them on their end. There's a number of other ones, you know. I'll just go with this one. This is very interesting because he says this. He says, he addressed these folks and he said, you know what, it's not a big thing for me. And we've talked about this before. But I want you to, you need to get it. Because this one thing really hurts people. It hurts you. Paul said this. It's not a big thing for me to be judged by you. Well, first of all, because y'all are off in left field. And you're living as mere men, so you're looking through the glass darkly anyway. So your opinions of me are not going to be from heaven because you're looking through the glass darkly because you're off in the flesh. He said, but that being said, I am submitted to the Spirit of God. And it's interesting, in another letter, I think it's 2 Timothy, he says this, that I serve God with a clear conscience. See, we've got to learn to grow up into him to where we spend so much time with him that it's an amazing thing. And the religious man doesn't get this. Because the religious man thinks the more time you spend with him, the more he's going to point out all your junk. So then nobody wants to do that. But the reality of it is, it's the most amazing thing from heaven. The more time you spend with him, the more stuff gets eradicated out of you. And the more you just become what he says you are. Saints by calling. Because this is what he's speaking over you. We've got to submit ourselves to let him speak over us so that this mess can be, so that you can be like Paul and you can say, man, I live with a clear conscience. Man, the religious population did not like that. He got in front of a bunch of Pharisees and religious leaders and said, I've done nothing wrong to this day. And they slugged him. Okay, they slapped him. Because they all knew where he came from. Dude, I signed the papers that I gave you, that you went out and dragged a bunch of Christians and tortured them until they squealed and tried to get them to deny Christ. I signed the papers. Don't stand in my presence and say, I've done nothing wrong. They didn't understand. Heaven has that much power. We ought to be wanting to live under that all the time, so that we can walk around with completely clear consciences all the time, so there is no, like Jesus said, the enemy has nothing in me. And then I love this one. I'll stop with this, and I was going to get into some marriage things, but I'll stop with this one. This is kind of one that really, it's where we live, guys. And Paul made this statement. It's very interesting. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. He said, I will not be mastered by anything. Now he's getting ready to say this, and we'll get into this next week about the whole chapter 7 of marriage. But he says all of this before he gets into that subject. So what he's saying here applies to all of that. But he says this, I will not be mastered by anything. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. And I will not be mastered by anything. But then you begin to realize as you're reading his letter that the reason why he's saying he's not going to be mastered by anything, think about this, guys, is because he tells you you're not your own, you're bought with a price. In other words, you don't have the authority to sell yourself to anything. It's not your authority to give away. You know, the most amazing thing, I used to be you're just going to have to help on this deal. I used to be like 240 pounds. I can show you some pictures. And, you know, I own my own business, and man, I eat junk food all the time, and I'd have a pop. You know, I'd go to one of them buffets, and man, one plate wasn't enough. Two plates was good, but then I'd go back for smaller plates. And my body didn't think nothing about it. In fact, if I didn't get that, I didn't think I ate. Because my body was telling me, this isn't sufficient. Give me some more. And so I would. Not realizing that my body was only doing and asking for what I trained it to ask for. But Paul is saying, look, your body is not yours. It belongs to him. In fact, he's for your body. But you're not your own. I'm not going to be mastered by anything because the authority of me is not mine to give away. Why is it that Christians, the only thing Christians are known for is going to buffets? That really burns me. Why? My wife says, because we can't do nothing else, so, you know, food's safe, so we'll just do that. Give me a break. Paul said, I'm not going to be mastered by anything. And I'm not saying this stuff because I'm trying to point fingers at all. But folks, the most amazing thing happened. The more time I spent with, after I left my business, I spent a lot of time every day. I didn't have a job for like a year because I didn't want one. And I'd get up every day and I would literally spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours reading the Word. I would open up the letters of Paul and Peter and all these guys and I'd read them like I'd never read them before. All new. But the most amazing thing happened. I stopped wanting all that stuff. It wasn't because, you know, well, sometimes it's because we didn't have no money. So if you don't have no money, you can't buy no food. But not all the time. And I stopped wanting 2 plates of food. I stopped wanting junk. I wanted him. But see, the more time I spent with him, my body wasn't screaming for that stuff. And the most amazing thing happened, I realized this last night as I was thinking about this. Now, here I am 40 pounds lighter. And I can go to a restaurant and the thought of splitting something with my wife is, hey, that's the way to go. Because my body says, hey, I don't need any more than that. We need to understand what Paul's saying here. As the new man, we need to be cognizant of what we're allowing to have authority over us. Because frankly, it's not our authority to give away. And he deals with the same principle when it comes over into marriage. Husband, don't withhold yourself from your wife. Wife, don't withhold yourself from your husband. But I want to get into that next week because we've really messed that up to the place where people are getting hurt and damaged and killed because of stupid religious thoughts that a mental Christian read into those verses that they don't say. But he carries this idea of understanding, look, we're not going to be mastered by anything. Everything's profitable. Everything's allowable for me, but I'm not going to be mastered by anything because I'm bought with a price, and by the way, you are too. Your body is for the Lord. So you don't have the authority to give away that authority to have something be master over you. It's not yours to give away. So let's take care of what he gave us because it belongs to him. Does this make sense? Did you guys get anything out of this at all? It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Sorry for all you Presbyterians, I didn't mean that. In this Baptist church. No, I'm not. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead and stand up. Here's the thing that the Spirit of God is trying to get over to us. Is it just what Jesus said? Whom the Son has set free is free. But for us to be free, we have to be free not just in theology, but we have to be free in anything that has mastery over us. Because if we don't, we could say, praise the Lord, I'm free. And then we go eat a whole pan of brownies. You ain't free. You know, we like to categorize. We call things sin and we like to categorize things as if, you know, certain things are worse than others. Well, that homosexual man, he's going to hell. As we go eat 3 plates of food, but somehow that homosexual's worse. I got news for you. Anything that destroys a human body is sin. It doesn't matter what it is. And there ain't, this is worse than this, because all of those things will, if we'll continue to follow those things, when the Spirit of God's trying to get us to be free from those things, then what will happen is we'll begin to see through the glass darkly. Everybody has known somebody that at one point they were on fire for the Spirit of God, but then just one little facet, one little crack, one little area, and maybe because of that one little area, they allowed darkness to keep speaking and yapping in their ear, to tell them, you're disqualified, you're disqualified, you're disqualified. And so they disqualified themselves. When all they would have had to have done was throw their hands up to their daddy and say, Father, my life belongs to you. This body belongs to you. I don't want to be under the authority of anything but you. Help me. And you have a promise from the Spirit of God that says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him and drives him out. We need to get happy about those verses. Because that's your life. That's who you are. He's your best friend. I told those guys yesterday, Peter and Troy, I said, you know what? I know people and I know life say things to you and they make you feel like you're somehow less, but you need to understand that Jesus is the biggest cheerleader you got. There's nobody bigger cheerleader for you than he is, and he thinks you're amazing. I don't care what anybody else says. And the same thing is true for you. You fill a room up with people and everybody's going to have something. And the challenge is all those little somethings, darkness is saying, you're disqualified. You know, and I say this kind of joking, but I'm not joking, really. You need to tell them to go to hell. Because you're not disqualified. You may just have issues. You know what? So what? Somebody bites their nails. Somebody does this or that. Somebody does whatever. I mean, everybody's got stuff. None of that disqualifies you. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Jesus used a bunch of guys that weren't even saved and they're going out healing people. They didn't know anything. And they weren't even believers. But yet they'd come back and say, man, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Peter was jealous. Probably a cusser. They had all kinds of messed up junk. Didn't disqualify any one of them. He allowed them to belong. I want you to hear this. He allowed them to belong until they came a place they believed. Folks, I don't care who we run into. We have got to have a culture in our own life towards other people and in this church that it's okay for people to come in and belong. I don't care if you believe. You're welcome to sit here, or you're welcome to be my friend, or you're welcome to, I'll hang out with you. I don't care if you, all you want to do is belong. I don't care. You're welcome to belong. Because I know at some point, the Spirit of God is going to take you from belonging to believing. And you're going to see what I see. That's got to be okay with us, folks. You know how people have left a church because they felt like a hypocrite because the enemy's yapping in their ear about, well, you do this and you do this and you do this, so then they disqualify themselves and leave. Come up with some other goofy reason as to why they're leaving when the reality is they got the hell beat out of them by the devil and they disqualified themselves because of something's going on in their life and all of a sudden now, in their eyes, Jesus no longer has any use for them. That's a crock. We shouldn't be reinforcing that, and you better not be reinforcing that in your own life because it's just not true. You know, we're getting ready to show these movies on the Holy Spirit. Folks, that's the level that man is created to live at. I want you to think about what I just said. I'm not talking religiously. I hate religion. I'm not talking about the church house versus the heathen. I'm talking about human beings breathing, born on the planet. What you're going to see in these movies, what you're going to see and experience is the level of life that human beings that breathe in and out, that have blood flowing in their veins, this is the level of life they're created to live at. Because you are created to live connected with the Spirit of God. And this is what it looks like. I don't care if you sit in the seats and say, I don't believe none of that. That's fine. You're welcome to do that. But at least show up. Because I'm telling you right now, officially, as a position of the church, you are absolutely welcome to just want to belong and not believe anything. I don't care. And I want you to be completely comfortable sitting in the seats doing nothing but belonging. That's all I care about. The believing part's not my deal. That's your best friend's deal. And he's more equipped to deal with that whole thing than I am. And folks, that's got to be our mindset towards anybody. That very thing is what Paul deals with in the very next chapter, in chapter 7. We'll get into that next week. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. Father, I thank you for every human being that's in this room. I thank you those that are hearing at the sound of my voice. And Father, I just thank you that you have a body of believers that say, we just want you. And if that means we got to bust out our box and lay aside our perspectives and our vantage points, then bring it on. Because I believe that what you have in this house is a group of people that at the end of the day, we just want to be associated with what you're associated with, and we don't care what it looks like. We just want you. So I declare this over these people. Father, I thank you that your presence rests upon them. And all the insecurities and all the areas of life that have been yapping in their ear trying to pull them out of the game, that you just reckon with your presence to the place where they're so hungry for you. All they want is you. All they want is you. And as a result of that, they set the world on fire. Father, I thank you for the harvest in Phoenix, in Scottsdale, in Glendale, in Apache Junction, in other cities, other states, other parts of the world, because you've given it all to us. And I thank you for it, Lord. And everybody agree with that prayer said. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.